It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Am I here now?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. I do hope you hit the subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcast, and Spotify, and Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is actor Matt Barr. We're going to be talking about Walker Independence. Now, this is a show that has him playing Hoyt Rollins. Now, if you're a fan of the first Walker show, you say, wait a second, he played Hoyt Rollins on this one, and isn't Independence set like 100 years before it? You are correct. He plays the same named great or great-great-grandfather of his character from Walker. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the importance of diversity and inclusion on the series, his own character's emotional journey, and having Kevin Costner as a mentor back when they worked on another Western, Hatfields and McCoys. Matt's also going to talk about the show's modern-era soundtrack bands like The Kills and his fandom for Chris Stapleton. We're also going to get into what keeps fans so interested in his 2009 series, Harper's Island. It was only around for a very short bit, but you can't even tell the way people still talk about it. And I want to ask what he wants to see from season two, which we will learn would be incorporating a treasure hunt. All that and more. Let's talk Walker Independence. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Barr.
Thanks for having me, man.
It's good to see you. You're down in Austin right now. I was going to ask you, how did you fare with the ice storms going on down there?
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Texas is just ill-equipped for anything to do with snowstorms. We shut down for a few days. No food. I mean, it was kind of crazy. It was like an apocalyptic movie down here.
I've been down there. I was coming out of a South by one year when an ice storm happened. And it's not like we get a ton. We get more in Kentucky than you do in Texas, but it was just like, oh no.
Yeah, it's funny because like my fiance, she's from the East Coast, and it's like a normal day there is like, you know, pandemonium, you know, chaos here. So
hey,
you know, schools are shut down. Don't leave your house. You know, stock up, get in the basement.
Right. Well, I'm glad it seems like you fared okay.
We're all good. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, let's see. So what we have here is Walker Independence. Same name, same character name, completely different dude. That you're playing in this,
about 150 years older. Yeah.
Do you feel that in your butt? Do you carry that in the character?
You did. There's something about putting on like these, you know, old school boots and like just the coat and the hat, you know, and walking into this town. We film in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and something about just this, you know, you're right back in the 1800s. And so, yeah, you definitely kind of sometimes can build a character from a lot of times from the inside out, but a lot of times it's the outside in too.
By the way, it's Santa Fe, New Mexico. I was going to ask about where you guys shoot this, you know, because you know, sometimes you do it on the, you know, somewhere just outside of LA you can find, I mean, what's a typical weather day like this? Because I would imagine this is a very hot shoot.
It's a very hot shoot and it's a very windy shoot, which is funny because our nickname is, you know, Walker Independence is windy. So that was like, you know, fortuitous. yeah, man, which is funny because if you ever watch the show, it's like there's a lot of hair in the show. So like hair's going everywhere. And I'm like cousin it. But my co-star, Justin Johnson Cortez, who plays Callion, it's like he's got this like perfect wind machine right in front of his face. You know, it's like some Herbal Essence commercial. I don't know how he's got some gift. It's otherworld.
That's but the thing is, I can't be the first one to say this, by the way. Everybody's so clean, though. You know, it's
yeah, right. Well, you know it was like it had to smell awful in the 1800s. I mean, cowboy life was like brutal. No showers. You know, there's like one bar in town. You know, you smell like whiskey and, you know, sweat. So.
But that's a decision you guys have to make. You're like, okay, we're getting like, because it's right. Like you would think like even, God, you know, the first opening scenes, you know, it's a sex scene and that's.
Oh, right. Well, this is our remix Western, I guess.
But here it is. As you're saying, you do have the same character name, but it is a different character. How much do you play to the, I say newer version. I don't know how to phrase that, older, newer, but it's, you know, the more present version. Do you play to that at all when you have this character in mind?
I did that deliberately. I sort of wanted to, you know, I wanted to start to plant all those sort of breadcrumbs as to why the, you know, our modern day Hoyt kind of was the way it was and how, you know, there's something in our DNA that's just, you know, we sort of can't outrun our fate. So I thought that, so I'm always sort of, you know, using what I did with the current Hoyt to inform, you know, a lot of these kind of building blocks that I play with 1800s Hoyt. So I don't know, there's just something that's always been fascinating about, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Even generations down the road, there's something in that Rollins, you know, curse or gift, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah, that whole what you're saying, you can't outrun your fate, it's really interesting. And I don't know how specific do you get with that, like knowing, like does that come down to like actual specific choices and things that you're doing with the character that you know would play out later on?
Yeah, no, I absolutely, you know, because you know every, you know, you always ask yourself, you know, what is a, like there's a beginning and a middle and an end, you know, and a lot of times you work from, you know, if you define the end, you can work backwards from there. So it's all in the specifics. It's like, even in the way that just like how Hoyt's reactive to certain things, you know, I see that down the road with modern day Hoyt, why he's impulsive or he's, you know, he doesn't think before he acts, or just his subtle behavior things, right? You know, like, so it's funny, there's a scene where there's like this kind of nervous laughter that Hoyt has, and both Hoyts have it, and I wanted to, like, people that know both versions of him would, I think, be able to sort of pick that out and go, you know, that's, you know, that's sort of that shell that, you know, Hoyt wears. Anyway,
little trademark, little Easter eggs that you plant in there.
Yeah that's a good way to phrase it. Yeah,
and we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Barr. Like, I would imagine this version of Hoyt in Independence, like, it seems like there is an emotional journey that he might have to face, to reckon. And knowing that those, is there allowance for that? I mean, do you give him the opportunity to become a better person?
Well, I mean, I think that's the journey, right? Like, that to me is the show. It's Hoyt's searching for his soul, you know, that's sort of his, I mean, that's sort of the way I always saw his journey. So, you know, he's constantly taking steps backwards, but what I would like about it is in a lot of, even in every episode, we see him maybe take one step forward, and it's this pursuit of his own moral compass. And even if he's not quite getting there, it's like, even the pursuit of it is a noble, is a noble thing, you know? So, and I always like characters that were trivial that way. Even if they're flawed, you know, really want to be a good person or they want to do the right thing. It's just, they get in their own way.
I do like seeing how you play it over the course of the entire season too, because it's, it's not immediate, you know, as you say, it kind of goes back and forth a little bit, like right. watching it. So be interesting right. to see how that progresses even.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. This isn't the first time you've done Westerns. Like for you, like, you know, putting your cowboy skills to work, how far does that go back for you?
Well, I grew up in Texas, so I think there's something in my DNA there, and riding quarter horses with my Uncle Dean. I remember being around that culture, being in Fort Worth, where I grew up, and I just kind of wanting to, you know, going to the rodeo on the weekends and always kind of loving that texture and that culture. And then I was lucky enough over 10 years ago to do a miniseries called The Hatfields and McCoys. And so, you know, if anyone knows Westerns, it's Kevin Costner. And so he was sort of my mentor with that. And it just, you know, it's amazing what you learn by just watching, listening. And so, yeah, I always go back to that often doing Walker Independence, just thinking about my days in Romania where we shot Hatfields and just, you know, listening to the master there.
You went all the way to Romania for that. I didn't know that part.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Across the world for West Virginia. Who knew?
It's not, I mean, that where that all happened, it's not too far from me. I could probably get there in an hour and a half.
Oh, you're
I
right. Think.
You know, that's right. But you know, and I was kind of laughing in my head because you said, you know, you're from Texas, and so it's in your DNA. And I thought, I am from the sticks of Kentucky, and somehow none of that left with me. You know, that's I wasn't.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's right. You are the Hatfields and McCoys. You really are.
But I came to the city. You know, I knew it's like this. It wasn't for me. That's growing up there. That's not part of that.
But you still drink the bourbon. That's fine.
Of course, I still drink the bourbon. That comes out of the faucet. You know, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
That's always how I hoped you'd be there.
So that's the Cowboys. Was Westerns also a part of coming up? I mean, the culture was there, but in the movie side of things, was that was that an interest?
Yeah, always. I mean, you know, the movies of the 90s, like Tombstone and Unforgiven, and those were, you know, even Dances with Wolves, you know, that was hugely impactful for me. And of course, like my dad and grandpa and uncles, I mean, all the stuff with, you know, John Wayne and the older, you know, spaghetti Westerns with Clint and those guys. It was, I still think it's maybe some of the sexiest thing you can watch on, you know, on a screen. It's just like cowboys, you know, horses. There's something really romantic about it, which is funny because we just joked that, you know, it probably was an awful lifestyle, but somehow in cinema, we've made it this really romantic ideal.
I agree. Legends of the Fall.
Yeah, big time.
Might be one of my, I named my son after the Brad Pitt character, Tristan Ludlow.
Yeah.
That's
my movie of all time.
That's one of my all time favorite movies too. So yeah, just incredible.
The greatest. Yep. A huge. I had that poster on my wall growing up, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. People were probably wondering, like, why do you have Brad Pitt on your wall? Most, you know, most guys have Pamela Anderson, but yeah, I had Anthony Hopkins and Brad Pitt.
I get it, man. It is. It's, we just watched it for, again, I say for the first time. He watched it for the first time. Yeah, just still holds up. Incredible. Beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so back to. Back to Walker Independence. The other thing I noticed about this show right from the beginning was the soundtrack too. You know, I play in the music world a lot, but you get the Kills at the beginning, you get Phosphorescent at the beginning, and it's almost a contrast of what we would have expected. And I know a lot of that stuff happens in post, but did you all talk about that at all?
That was calculated from the very beginning when we were sort of conceptualizing the show. We talked about kind of putting our Baz Luhrmann kind of Guy Ritchie spin on it, where we're going to make a period Western, but we're going to kind of bring it into this century, you know, and, you know, modernize it a bit. So if you're a Western purist, you're going to appreciate, you know, some of those tropes and things in there. But also, you know, if you're a teenager and you're coming up and you haven't really been introduced to that genre, you know, here's maybe a way to kind of, you know, make it palatable. And I thought it was a fun idea. I mean, you know, there's people doing it every which way. And I thought that was kind of a fun way to remix the Western. And music, like you said, music's one of my favorite parts of filmmaking. And I think it's sometimes it can be 75% of an experience, you know, watching it. So speaking of Legends of the Fall, that music's my best soundtrack. But
James Horner.
James Horner, you know, rest in peace. We love you, brother. But Yeah. So I think that was kind of a fun spin on it. Kind of turned it on its head a little bit.
Who are your bands? To put you on the spot. I know that's always like, I hate that question, but who are your bands? Your artists.
You know, I'm still loving the folky. Like I love Mumford and Sons. You mean me personally?
Yep.
Love Mumford and Sons. Right now I'm sort of on a Chris Stapleton, like I just can't get enough. I'm getting married in April and that's like my whole like wedding list is just like Stapleton. So I need some variation in there.
Yeah, he's did you see him on the Grammys budget? He got up there with Stevie.
I didn't. Was that last night? Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. That's worthy of a YouTube. They did a jam. Like you never get a jam session on the Grammys. You don't have time for it. I think they went for like 12 minutes. You know, just playing on like Superstition and everything.
Oh, dude. Okay, I'm right when we're done. I'll YouTube that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matt Barr. Do you find that there's a message with the show? Because it does look like diversity, representation, inclusion, like those do seem to be at the forefronts of what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, no, that was a big part of it. And I like that it's an organic way to do that. It's not some type of forced, mission that this show and network was trying to achieve. I think there was organic diversity in that time. And but something that I think that the thing that I connected with most was the theme of the show is about finding your identity and your place in the world. And that's kind of what the human experience is about, you know? And so Independence is this new town, you know, as the railroad kind of went west and people are trying to build a life, and it's about freedom and sort of, you can make life, you know, the ideal at least is that you can build the life yourself that you want and you can be who you are. And I think more than ever, you know, we all need to hear that right now. And so people searching for identity and, you know, just kind of finding their place and also a community, you know, the show, these people become a family over time and we're stronger together, you know, just in general, humanity is. So that's something that I really like about the show, finding your family wherever it is, blood or not blood, you know?
Yeah. Every time you make the comment, and then there were three. And now there's four.
Yeah, exactly. And it grows from there.
Yeah, it's a nice running little, I don't know if it's a running joke, but it feels like that a little bit. Not to make light of what you were saying, by the way.
No, it's true, right? It's true.
But that you know, it, as I was talking about, though, with the diversity and everything, I mean, it obviously seems well-timed on that, too. It also seems like there's a real sense of the networks just needing to shake things up. I mean, this feels like a show that comes along with that. You know, and for you having so much history, I think, with the CW, you know, as I look back, and I don't even think I was like, do you have a bed in the office that you can just?
That's right. That's true. I've sort of started my career there and I've sort of built a lot of it there. I definitely have some photos in that office.
But that's, you know, that's just, you know, for having seen the arc, and I think the CW has always sort of been known for that to a certain degree when we're talking about these social movements, it's been there. But like, I don't, do you, and I guess I'm moving away from the cast and the characters and more to the business side here. Do you get a sense of where the show fits in with all of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think like you're saying just across the landscape of television in general.
I really am, because like I said, you know, like cancellations are all the rage right now, you know, it's, and that's what I'm saying. Like so for a show to make it, like, it feels like it has to be a little bit something different. It has to be, I don't know, what does it have to be?
Right. That's a great point. I mean, I ask that question, you know, every day to our team, but I think that, you know, you not that you have to check certain boxes, but I do think you need to be progressive. You need to be saying something, you know, it's not just entertainment. There needs to be a clear message that's maybe moving the needle one way. It can also be highly entertaining. I also think you have to like cinematically elevate the game. If you look at our show, I think it could be on a cable streamer. You know, it's really beautifully shot. It's very quality. I think it's just like, I sort of like this competitive nature of where the landscape is, where, you know, not only with the content and the messaging, but like the actual cinematic quality is really raising the bar there to kind of keep up with what's happening. It's amazing kind of what filmmakers are doing right now on television and streaming. But That's a great question. And I'll sort of continue to kind of listen and learn about that, because I think I'm curious to see kind of like, you know, where the, again, I guess, yeah, like kind of where the needle's really moving.
And even looking back at like some of the other shows that you've done, I mean, like Harper's Island, which still seems to carry this cult following. I mean, what is it that keeps that one sticking around? And, you know, in your opinion, for people.
Truly, I that's one of my favorite things I've ever done. I think it was really well made. I think it was about 5 years ahead of its time, probably. And I think that really would have hit. I think sometimes just things are, when things are quality and the, you know, the storytelling is well crafted, you know, by smart people. They have a life that kind of continues to live over time. I was just at a thing this weekend and a lot of people brought that up. And it's funny that show continues to have life, because it was a one-off, you know, and especially a lot of actors and filmmakers I work with, they actually bring that show up, like they like it. So that's one of my favorite things.
Almost, well, you know, if you give allowance for like fan fiction, I mean, that universe just continues even, you know, with a one-off, which has got to be a kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if surreal is the right word, but at least interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Maybe I know that, the idea for season two of that was going to be Harper's Safari, you know, that kind of what Ryan Murphy did with his American Horror Story, same cast, different story. And, maybe we'll kind of like resuscitate that show.
Let's get that. Let's manifest that out there, as they say.
There you go.
Let's put it out there. As far as independence, I don't know, do you have a sense of where you want the next season to go?
You know, what I would love to do is I really love the dynamic with Hoyt and Callion, and sort of there's something really fun there about two guys from different worlds that sort of find this, you know, this brotherhood. So I'd like to explore that relationship more. And I sort of had this thing I'm trying to incept with our writers, which is some type of like treasure hunt. I'm obsessed with the treasure hunting. I've even done a show about it. So I can't seem to get away from this idea, but I'd like all the, you know, something in those mines out there in the West, you know,
maybe you're talking about Blood and Treasure, right?
Well, I was referring to Blood and Treasure, but I just, you know, maybe we can kind of, I'm trying to blend these two shows. So maybe there's some type of, you know, treasure hidden in the Texas Hill Country.
I love that. Do it. And then you get a little buddy cop on top of it, as you were saying. You so.
Yeah.
Well, I'll certainly look forward to it. I really will. Congrats on everything with this one. It is a beautiful, beautiful season that you guys have done with Walker Independence.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. It's been a joy to live your dream, you know, so no complaints.
And my thanks to Matt Barr. Walker Independence, first season, is out now on the CW. So big thanks to Matt, big thanks to you for checking out the series. Again, before you get out of here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. You like catching up with your favorite actors and musicians. I put out a new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can grab them all, have them delivered straight to you when you subscribe at iTunes, Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFBK.org, or YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and then after that, head over to WFBK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, at WFBK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can find me on the social media spots as well. That's a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith, so do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Well, I'll see you in Kentucky one of these days.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.